You've already met the Thanes of Rigel and even followed them on their quest across the sea. But now travel back to the city they call home mere days after their departure, where a brand new story is taking shape. Set upon by bad luck, a group of disparate individuals find themselves forced to work together at the behest of the rich and the powerful. But in Rigel, nothing is ever quite as it seems. With new powers on the rise and the city's thanes gone, will others rise to the occasion or discover they're not quite heroes at all? The Pod Called Quest presents Quest Side Story.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Pod Called Quest. As always, I'm your friendly neighborhood game master, Josh.
And I'm Stephanie.
I'm Shane.
Oh no, and I'm Foz.
I'm Laura.
Hi, I'm David.
That was the weirdest one we've ever done.
Spoopy Shane is a couple months early.
It's Halloween.
I'm right on time, Josh.
Oh God, Halloween's been in August the whole time.
I think this year's just been scary forever, so.
That's true. Yeah, this whole year. This whole year is All Hallows Eve.
You could tell me it's October and I'd believe you, so.
When I lived in Yosemite in the Valley, we used to have Halloween in July because the Valley would all be snowed in and we couldn't celebrate. So on July 31st, we would all dress up in costumes and have Halloween. We'd have like a rave in this little trailer.
That's awesome.
That's cute. Really fun.
I always forget you lived out there, man.
Yeah.
I remember when that happened, you were like, hey, dude, I'm moving to Yosemite. And I was like, okay, what?
Yeah, Sean Kelly drove me up and stayed with me for a week and then left me on my own.
How long were you there for?
Like 6 months.
Wow.
Crazy.
That's kind of cool.
It was cool. But that's not what we wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Prior to the show, Laura mentioned that apparently people have died in her parents' house. These are my in-laws. And that there's a story about how it's haunted.
It's very haunted.
I will say, Laura and I have been dating since 2012. We've been married for, you know, a little bit over 2 years. I've never heard of this before. And so
you've
now I need to know.
Never come up.
You've never told me.
I can't believe that's never come up.
Mainly, I'm not much of a superstitious guy, so you probably thought it was a waste. But I still want to know. It's the possibility.
Well, I don't think it's haunted anymore. It was more like when we first moved in. Because
is that how hauntings work?
First of all, I don't know how hauntings work. I can't claim to be an expert on like hauntings and poltergeists and things. I have no idea, but I do know when we first moved in, the people that were selling the house were very upfront about the fact that someone had died in the house. And we were like, whatever, that's fine. And the whole family, that it was like the daughter of the person that had died selling this home. And their whole extended family did not want us to move in. This was very clear. Anyone who was in the house that when we were like seeing the house, they would be very unfriendly toward us. They did not want us to move in. The day we moved in, people showed up and cried. It was like a lot.
Whoa.
Like they did not want us to be
what
there.
What the hell?
It was really crazy.
How have I not heard this?
So we were like, whatever.
Wait,
okay.
These people are nuts.
That's fine.
Were these neighbors were showing up? And
no, like people, like family members of the person who had died.
Oh,
second thing. How old were you?
I was 19.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Continue. That's way later than I thought.
Yeah, it was my first year of college that we moved. So maybe 18 or 19. So we move into this house, and of course, when you move into a house, as you normally do, it gets all checked out, right? Like an electrician comes out,
gas people come out
to make sure the house is like safe and like good to go.
Has to pass a city inspection.
Hopefully.
Exactly. Yes. We had trusted people we know do this even. And yeah, and the city inspects it. It was like all good to go. Everything was fine. Or so we thought.
Ooh.
But then as we move in, the first few months we're there, one bad thing after another keeps happening. It was very weird. Like, first thing, horrible termite infestation. Really, really bad. So we had to get the house tented, right? As you do when you have a termite infestation. So we did. We left. The house is tented. We come back.
Robbed.
Right as they're taking the tent off. Guys, as they're taking the tent off, an electrical fire starts in one room of the house. and a socket just literally starts on fire out of nowhere. This continues to happen throughout the house that entire day. We had to call the fire department. There were just fires popping up everywhere.
Wait, was it all
right
at once?
After we had, all at once, just all of a sudden, out of nowhere. And the
fires, like what? Little fires would like throughout the day.
Oh, yeah, separate fires popping up all throughout the day, like in different like electrical sockets.
What the fuck?
We were like, what is going on? Like, we had just gotten the house tented and everything was fine while it was tented. And then as soon as the tent comes off, fires. We finally get all the electricity figured out, even though the electrician said everything was fine. This was fine. All of a sudden, it was faulty out of nowhere.
God.
It was fine like a couple months ago. Then we get the electricity all figured out. Great. Everything should be fine now, right? Wrong. Then the house is infested with rats. Tons of
yes.
them. All of a sudden.
And there's not those kinds of rats, dude. Not those dirty rats.
They weren't there. The house got tented. I'm going to remind everyone. The house was tented. It should have killed anything living in there.
Yeah.
But no, there are now rats everywhere. They're everywhere. They're getting into the cupboards. They're going through ducts. They're showing up in the bathroom, in cupboards, in everywhere. They're everywhere. It was insane. It literally felt like something. It felt like something out of like a Bible story. Like, what was it? The
plagues?
Moses story where the plagues
of Egypt.
That's what it felt like. Yes, exactly. So there's rats. So we get rid of the rats. And I can't remember what else happened after that, but it just kept like random shit kept breaking and things kept going wrong. And then finally it kind of stopped for a while. And my mom was like, what is going on with this house? Is this house cursed? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe you guys bought a cursed house. Whatever. That's your problem now. Then little things kept happening. Very little things. My mom would smell perfume when there was no perfume anywhere. Like she'd be sewing and her bobbins would all fall off of the desk out of like... She didn't even bump anything.
Gross.
She's sewing and her bobbins just fall off of the desk out of nowhere. Crazy shit started happening. My mom was like, I think that the spirit of that person who died is still here. And I don't think she wants us here. And my mom would be like freaking out. It was crazy.
Don't tell
you guys.
Your children that. I would die. I would move away.
She was an adult, dude.
It was a mess. Yeah.
Wait.
To this day, I have no idea if any of that had anything to do with like a ghost or anything. I have no clue if I even believe in that stuff, but it was pretty crazy.
I was
crazy.
Waiting was for like the bleeding walls and shit to happen. Like, so, the rats were speaking Latin, you know, and doing rituals.
David, your imagination, man. Shane, what's up?
So, just to be clear, your parents still live there, right?
They do. They still live
and
there.
And shit doesn't happen like that anymore?
No, it's fine now. For a long time, it's been for years, it's been fine. Nothing weird.
You know what that means, Shane?
No.
Laura's haunted.
But it was pretty crazy. I will say it was a pretty crazy year, that first year in that house. It was pretty wild. My mom kept calling it Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
She was like, we live in the Amityville Horror house.
That helps.
It's insane.
It's weird because I've heard the story about the electrical outlets catching fire, but none of the surrounding stories.
It was all at the same time. That's what was so crazy about it. It was like when we'd solve one problem, another would pop up like instantly just out of nowhere. It was so weird.
Honestly, the weirdest part to me is not any of the bad stuff happening to the house. It's like all the relatives coming to you before and like crying. Mm. That to me is
that's
like
creepy as
the
biggest
red flag. They did not want us to. The lady that sold us the house obviously was very grateful we bought the house, but all the family members were pissed at us.
Her, like grandkids and all of that.
Yes.
Were they Hispanic?
Again, Felix. Again.
What?
It doesn't matter.
Yes, there's certain like blessing rituals and stuff. Dude, I know about Santeria. Like I grew up around
Who
it.
Who said anything about Santeria?
There's like a weird thing that like when the person isn't baptized or whatever, sometimes they mourn the soul because it's not going to enter heaven. It's going to wander forever.
That has nothing to do with anything we've talked
Someone
about.
Someone died in the house.
Speaking about baptisms and mourning souls, I have a little thing to kind of announce to the all you listeners out there.
Nice.
Take a little hard right turn out
that
of here.
That was a great segue, Josh. A great segue.
So everyone knows I spend a lot of time kind of curating the music for the show, and I kind of really take pride in that. It's something I really enjoy as a person who both enjoys and makes his own music. And everybody knows, as we always shout out on every episode, we work with Larian Studios. Work is a very tenuous word. They allow us to use their music, and we're very grateful. And I recently have been reaching out to some other smaller and some bigger game companies to see if we can work something out to use some of their music on the show. And I recently reached out to The Game Kitchen, creators of the side-scrolling Metroidvania game Blasphemous, and they're letting us use their music. Which
That's
is awesome.
Awesome.
Yay.
Hey.
Yeah.
Super cool.
We're adding that to the repertoire. Yeah. I don't know when the first time we'll have an opportunity to add it to the show. We'll see. I'll have to work that into the flow of my editing, but we're going to start shouting them out because they were awesome people and extremely laid back about letting us use it. And so if you like Metroid or Castlevania games and beautiful pixel art and really macabre, horrendous stuff with weird religious overtones, go check out Blasphemous. It's really good and it's hard. So if you like hard games, go check it out. It's been kicking my ass for a while.
Yeah.
Awesome little addition there. I'm also currently trying to, I'm trying to talk to CD Projekt Red, guys. I'm really trying to wheel and deal with them to get some access to some Witcher music.
Come on.
That's so crazy.
They're my white whale. Like, I'll if I can get so Witcher happy. Music, that's hours of music that we can use.
Oh my God.
I don't know how much of that I would use. It's a distraction at the table.
We used to use that music all the time before we started recording. Like, The Witcher was our go-to. And there was this one song that we were all obsessed with and would just start singing along with every time it came on.
I think it's called Silver for Monsters.
It was great.
So
when we get permission, we will use it every
don't
episode.
Say when. If they're very big, we will see. I don't know if they're gonna let us, but they have like
putting it out into
they have
universe.
The Witcher 1, they have The Witcher 2, they have The Witcher 3, they have Witcher 3 Hearts of Stone, Witcher 3 Blood and Wine, and they have the Gwent game and Thronebreaker, the Witcher Tales game. There's so much music that if they give us permission, we can have access to. And I'm really trying to wheel and deal with them right now, see what they would do for us. So we will see if we're able to get it. I'll be very happy. Other than that, Foz, we have another $10 upgrade, don't we?
Sure do.
Yeah, we had another somebody go ahead and upgrade from $5 to $10 over on the Patreon, and we want to get them their very much deserved shout out. So,
yay!
With all the love we can muster, Tony Saracia, thanks for coming to $10 Patreon, man. Yay! Yay! Jesus, wow. Shane, fuck you. Fuck you, Shane.
No, thank you, Tony.
My boy, Tony.
He boos everybody. Anyways, speaking of Patreon, I do want to let everyone know that's on the $25 and $50 tier that we are officially having our first monthly PCQ movie night next Friday. That's going to be a week from the day this episode comes out, so the 21st. That'll be over on the Discord. Make sure if you haven't yet, hop on over to the Patreon and vote on which movie you'd like to see. Currently, out of the five choices, it looks like Starship Troopers is in the lead, which I'm very excited to watch. Haven't seen it in quite a few years. But if you guys are interested in hanging out with us, watching a movie via Discord, hop on over to the Patreon. Check out the $25 tier. That'll get you every single month. We're going to do a movie night over on Discord. And so if any of you folks who are on the $25 or $50 tier don't have access to the Discord, let us know. We'll get you a link. You should have gotten that when you first signed up, but sometimes it doesn't go through. So just keep us posted. Email us or message us on Patreon, and we'll get you a link so you can hang out with us. But I think a good chunk of us should be there this time. We'll do it every month. So it should be a good time. That's the 21st. It'll be at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's 21st of August, a Friday, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And we'll hang out for a bit, wait for folks to join, and then we'll enjoy some Starship Troopers, because only good bug is a dead bug. Anyways, how's everybody doing?
Great.
Good.
Wow, bad.
So
shit.
Great.
Convincing, Felix.
Well. I literally fought four people today.
Yeah, he told me this.
I feel like shit.
Spar.
Yeah, sparring.
Oh, wait, that's right. Like, he actually did. I thought you just, like, picked people off the streets and just, like, let's fucking go at it.
Yeah, three wasn't enough. I had to find a fourth one. No, I feel like garbage. My body. My soul.
That's the weakness leaving your body.
Oh, no.
We had a coach in football that used to say that.
Really? I thought no real person ever said that.
That's actually like the most tame thing I've ever heard a football coach say, hon. That's really run of the mill.
It was a Christian
school.
Why
are coaches the worst people? I'm sorry if anyone listening
they're
to
not,
this is a coach.
They're not the worst people,
why are some of them so mean?
Well, it's like football is a breeding ground for toxic masculinity, along with other sports too. But football especially has this like something about it. Believe me, I played for 9 years.
Whoa.
So I would know.
Just be nice, coaches.
This is why he's here playing this game now, because he's got to make up for 9 years. This is your penance.
I mean, I guess so.
Yes.
I mean, I was like a nerd the whole time. I just also was into sports. I played hockey and stuff like that too.
No, that's all good.
Speaking of nerds, I have been working on a new cosplay. So I did that today.
Oh,
I made a lot of progress.
Nice.
I'm upgrading my skills. Every new one that I like, every new sewing project I do, I'm feeling really good about this one so far.
Are you working on anything that we would know?
Yeah, it's actually a character from Legend of Korra, season 4, Kuvira.
Interesting choice, I have to say. Of all of the people to choose.
Yeah, of all the people to choose, right? Here's the reason. It's super simple. It has nothing to do with the character or resonating with Kuvira as a character, but 100% to do with the fact that if I cosplayed as her, I would not have to wear a wig.
That's a good incentive, I have to say. That is very good.
Awesome.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Anyways, guys, let's just jump in. Last week, huh?
Last week, huh? Oof.
Guys did some running around.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bait and switch, I have to say. I was very confused.
I wasn't expecting that, I have to admit. I wasn't expecting the fact that they were watching us the whole time.
Yeah.
Who could it be from? Is it Best Love that's been listening to us this whole time? Is it, please wait for it, I've got this, the Croman. I don't know what his name is.
The Croman.
Johnny Croman.
Johnny Croman. Johnny Croman, yeah.
I'm going to call him that from now on. The Croman.
The Blood Raven.
I'm just glad you remembered one person this
Johnny
time.
Johnny Croman.
I just really like Croman. That's incredible.
I'm so bad at remembering the names of anyone. This is Josh why is I take smiling, notes.
But on the inside, he is crying.
But Josh,
because he created these awesome names and you are just the next, fucking dragging them through the shit.
Eh, I expect it.
The next vigilante needs to be like a greaser dude named Johnny Croman. And he's got to have like a pompadour. And he's got to be like from Fallout. Or something from the future.
That's your backup character, Felix. Get started.
Johnny Croman?
Yep.
Oh, don't even.
Oh my
even.
God, I cannot wait.
So back to the podcast. Triggered. I think that it could great, probably yeah. be Best Love. The thing that I have against that theory is that it got in the room while he was there and his man brought it to our attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems weird.
Also, why would he need to watch us? We're working for him and I feel like he already has the means to watch us without that. I don't think he wouldn't need to make this like device, you know? Seems yeah, a little
and
much.
Not just that, the craftsmanship was really shoddy. He seems like the type right. of dude who has the resources to get shit done good.
So exactly.
Maybe it was Johnny Croman, aka the Blood Raven.
No, because it was spying on our conversation with him.
Oh, that's right.
Exactly.
Duh.
My theory is it's someone like that we just haven't met. It's like yeah. someone different entirely.
Ooh, what if it's
the Stygian Dirge?
No. What? I mean, it could be, but I'm so sorry. Josh, I apologize in advance. I don't know anyone's names. All of my notes are at your house.
Rewind. You haven't been inside my house for almost 6 months. So your notes for this should be at your house.
Because this is a character from the first campaign. Calm down. I'm talking about the tiefling dude.
Varel?
Oh, Varel.
Thank you, Varel. I couldn't remember his name.
That's possible.
The fourth.
I wouldn't put it past Varel.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting for me to have this whole other campaign. Sorry for you guys. Have him literally be on screen for less than a minute and have him be the bad guy. That makes a lot of sense.
It would be a good twist.
But he did show up.
Yeah, I mean, so did Zillion. So
that's
did Laveau.
The thing is, we have to be, we've only been a group for a very short time.
A few weeks.
So this person that is spying on us is either someone we just met or someone we don't know at all. I mean, it has to be one of those, obviously. But I'm confused because what reason do they have to spy on us? We've only been a group for a really short time. Like, we haven't really done much yet.
We're digging into stuff that we shouldn't be.
Yeah, must be. This is interesting.
Or poking proverbial bear.
Anyways, I'm sure we can play a little bit of catch up as we do the episode. So, I mean, to lead us right back in, you guys are standing in the back kind of workshop area of the FitzElric's Arcanist shop. You had just gone back here with both of the brothers, and Sylvester had offered to utilize their, I think he called it a Gemtech decoder, in order to play this recorded audio from this clockwork spy. And it turns out, as the audio came out of this little contraption, that this clockwork spy has been recording you guys for a couple weeks now. There seems to be recordings of conversations you guys had with Faye. It seems to have recordings of conversations you guys had with the Raven. And so it seems like it's been around and been pretty sneaky for a little while now.
Pretty sneaky.
So you guys find yourself standing here. The recording is still playing, and it's just more and more of different conversations you guys have had. Conversations like, you guys even get to a point where you hear part of the conversation where you're planning to go check out where you inevitably met Ezra. There's part of that conversation's on here. There's a large swath of different conversations on this device, and it goes on for a while. I mean, as you guys know, this thing can hold at least an hour's worth of recording. And so as you guys are standing here, just listening to this, what do you all do?
Real quick, how far back does it go? Like, what's the first recording of it?
Well, you can't like fast forward. So the stuff that you have right now, I would say, is probably like the most recent like sets. As you guys get back, it goes back as far as to have a conversation with Faye. And it sounds like the conversation you guys had with her at Locke's house when you first got her back. So pretty far back, like right after you guys cleared out the roaches and shit.
Okay.
Arkrov, his eyes, he starts to pick up his head and meet each of your eyes. And his eyes are super wide.
This is all about us. What? Who the fuck is watching us?
Why would anyone want to spy on us?
Seems as though it started when we met Faye.
This doesn't make any sense.
So someone knows we found her. That's not good.
Do I really sound like that? Do you? I mean, that's not really what I sound like, is it?
It's what you sound like to me.
No, it's what you sound like.
No, gods, no. My voice is much less nasally and, oh dear.
My accent is much better in my head than how I hear it.
Arkrov, you have a lovely accent.
Fuck you.
I was trying to be nice.
Either way, I think we should try to get to the bottom of this. Where were we before the meeting with Faye? Before the roaches and all that?
The Prime Minister's office.
So somebody must be very curious about our clandestine meetings with the Prime Minister.
Did we see anybody else when we were there? I don't remember.
I don't either.
We did meet that guy, Mr. Kretznov?
Ah, Voril.
Yes.
That's true.
That's right. He was there right before we went on this mission, where we had run into Faye.
You don't think the Lord of Bleakridge would have anything to do with this, do you?
I have no clue.
I can't think of why he would care.
Yes, I suppose it's possible, but why?
I don't think it's very likely.
He only saw us for less than a moment, and he has no idea who we are.
Well, it doesn't change the fact that we need to get to the bottom of where this thing came from. Right now, our only clue is that tattoo on your hand.
And the serial number.
Right.
True.
We should focus our attention into figuring out what the source of these things are. If that tattoo, if someone is watching you through it, or will trace you through it, then we need to let them find you.
But my question is, will they come physically to try and find me, or will they just look at me from afar? In this case, it will not help us in any way.
The type of person who sends a clockwork spy to spy on someone doesn't really sound like the type of person that would do their own dirty work, if you know what I mean. They might just send somebody.
This is right.
You're not wrong.
Either way, we have something that they want. Either Arkrov or the spy itself. They will find us eventually, or so I hope.
Right.
As long as we step into the right mud hole, we step in the wrong place, and boom, we will see who is watching us.
We have to be very careful about discussing anything around Arkrov. As far as we know, the data lives and dies with us. All of these recordings. They never made it back, as far as we can tell, right?
We have right. No way of knowing, but yes.
Well, in the case that maybe they haven't, then there's still information that lives only with us, and we should work hard to protect it.
Sylvester, you seem to have more experience with these than the rest of us. Is that accurate to say?
Well, in order to read the specific information stored on the gem, you would need to have it physically, so it's possible that this was received past times and then was maybe not erased and was just kept where it was. The information, that is. It's possible, but it doesn't seem rather likely. You wouldn't send it back into the world with all of it. Maybe you re-etch it onto another gem or record it in another manner. I'm not an expert on them. I just maybe built and deciphered them for some people back home. And you see his brother's just like, what the fuck?
I was thinking the same thing. Do we all find it prudent to destroy this gem that nobody ever recovers the information on it, hopefully?
Phil, I think we should put it in the bag of holding, and you never know what could be on there that could be valuable in the future.
Would we need it as some kind of evidence for anything?
I don't know. I just...
Maybe.
If all of you disagree, then this is fine. But I would caution on the side of keeping it.
Put it in my mouth when we're done. Like, it's going in here.
Kenzo opens his mouth and he points to a certain tooth. And he's like, that's going right here.
No.
And right here.
The gem is this big. And he holds up his fingers and it's gigantic. An inch and a half across.
It's going on several teeth.
I think breaking it up kind of defeats the purpose, friend. You'll need it to be whole for it to function.
It's not about... It functions in my mouth, man. Like, you don't get it. It's fine. You don't get it.
Is this normal? Is this like him taking his clothes off when he pulls a new piece of chainmail?
Yes, it is fairly normal.
This is okay. Normal.
All right, well.
That, all I know is that there's only two culprits here. It's either the Prime Minister or Bestliv, and I'm playing at using that gem to make my smile more beautiful.
The thought is very black and white, but I mean, having some crystals in your mouth is not the worst idea. It might look cool.
Let's try to stay on topic, shall we? Are we destroying the thing or not?
If we destroy it, it's going in my mouth.
I don't think it's a bad idea to destroy it, but I can't help but think that maybe Rizon is right, and Okrov, that perhaps there is some evidence that we might need.
There is damning evidence enough to many of our reputations already. Not only us, but the Prime Minister as well.
That's true. I don't know.
This can't get out.
I think we should keep it and ask the Prime Minister what she suggests. We're not the only ones who are recorded on there. She was as well. Same with the Blood Raven.
Well, if I'm outvoted...
Were any of our meetings with Bestliv recorded?
No. At least you guys didn't hear any of them.
That's awfully suspicious, don't you think?
What about with the Prime Minister?
Yeah, she's on there a little bit.
It's a good point, Locke.
But then Bestliv was there. His bodyguard? What was that guy?
Briggs!
Briggs was with him and was the one to even bring attention to this.
Maybe Bestliv was trying to throw us off? But why would he even bring attention to it in the first place?
I don't think this is the work of Lord Howell.
It seems unlikely.
Why does it seem unlikely?
Think about it. The man has infinite coffers. His resources are abundant. If he was behind this, he would have made it with better craftsmanship.
Or he would have made it to be found, to blackmail us, to make us feel watched.
He's not as smart as you think he is, Kenzo.
Oh, well, old man, I guess you are so sure. Then do you know who's doing this? You believe that we should destroy it. I said that first. I was afraid it would blow someone's arm off.
Well, I would prefer that the information that is inscribed on this gem not get out to the public or anyone with nefarious purposes. As we all know, there was recently an attempt on the Prime Minister's life.
We should write it down then.
I'm not opposed to destroying it, but I think that perhaps now's not the time.
I will keep it safe.
Sense motive.
Oh, shoot.
All right.
Drama.
17. Is he going to keep it safe?
He means it, as far as you know. He means what he said.
I believe you.
Silas kind of turns to you, Hannibal. I mean, if it's in the bag of holding, it shouldn't be a problem. It's a very unique, sectioned off, extra-dimensional space. I'm sure you know how they work. There's no way in or out except for the actual bag.
Plus, you have to use your mind. You have to look for it.
You have to picture the item, and then it comes out. So, if someone was looking for it and knew what they were going for, then sure, you could get it, but you had to also get your hand inside the bag.
Are you telling me someone is not looking for it?
What I'm telling you is that it's rather easy to hide and keep something safe inside of a bag of holding, because there's only one entrance and one exit.
I understand this, but they know we are in possession of it, and they know where we are.
He gestures at the tattoo.
Sure, of course. It's merely letting you know that you don't have anything to worry about. I'm vetting and sticking up for my own craftsmanship because it is my bag of holding that I created, so should be fine for you.
Just don't let me die, and no one can look through my stuff.
But that is an important thing to note. If it is intact, that means somebody will want it. If somebody wants it, that means I have to come and get it. And if they come and get it, then that's us one step closer to figuring out where it came from and who sent it in the first place.
It seems maybe destroying it before we know who sent it might be a bad idea. What if we need to incriminate somebody with it as proof?
As long as it exists intact, we are risking incriminating ourselves. Ourselves and Emrin.
What is there to be incriminated about?
Well, I mean, there's evidence of us talking to a deaf woman, like plotting to...
Illegal.
No, plotting to like...
How dare.
Plotting to get in and like overthrow Best of Howell, basically.
Also like meeting with a known vigilante.
Yeah, vigilante is the one thing that I was thinking.
All right.
So there's a ton of shit on here that could get everybody involved in serious trouble.
For sure.
It seems especially dangerous for the Prime Minister.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I like the idea of being able to give it to her next time we see her.
We should go to it right now.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do it.
We should, yeah.
We just went there.
Well, yeah, but we figured it out.
We have new info.
You were there like 3 or 4 hours ago.
I've got an idea.
What is it?
Well, first, we'll transcribe what is actually on the gem. The Elrics... I don't know if they're fine with this.
Fitz Elric.
Thank you, Hannibal. Fitz Elric is the name, but...
Okay. Sorry. So, the Fitzies.
Well, okay.
Everyone will sign off that we heard the thing. We'll seal this document. Kenzo reaches into his bag. Let me finish.
We're going to refrain. Sylvester goes like, yes, I would actually like to not be included in this because the device you use is illegal. And if it gets traced back to us, we'll be out of business. So you all can be involved. You never did this here. And he goes and hits a button and he watches like the gem like comes out of the machine and he goes, there you are. And hands it to whoever's closest. Who takes it?
I'll take it.
Okay, Hannibal takes it. He goes, you never did this here. You can transcribe it all you want, but we weren't involved.
Relax. Then fine. I just want word for word what the gem said. And Kenzo reaches to his side and like in a weird area in his clothes, he pulls out this scroll case that's like locked up and he reaches into his left hand side and you see like a ring of keys come up and there's like a bunch of keys, like 30 something keys on this ring. He unlocks the box and says, we can keep the actual document inside here. It's magically sealed. No one knows what the key is. It's almost impossible to know. We'll keep the actual document in here and I will write a fake document. Keep it on my person as a transcribed document. It'll be fake information and it could be like a red herring or whatever. And then we can do whatever with the gem, destroy it, give it to the Prime Minister. But we have the actual words on parchment.
Wait, so you said we put fake information on the transcribe?
The one that we'll keep on us in case someone robs us or tries to take something, or it can be just
This will take hours, maybe days. You want to write all this?
I don't have a problem. We're not doing anything else.
Okay.
All right, fine. Forget it.
I think before we do anything, we should talk to the Prime Minister.
What if she is the one that sent it?
Why would she record herself?
I don't know. And Kenzo kind of like sits down on the floor like a fucking bratty child.
I'm confused too. But at the end of the day, we are working for the Prime Minister. And I think we owe her an explanation.
Silas, Sylvester, would you happen to have a...
They answer yes at the exact same time.
Ooh. Hannibal gets goosebumps.
would you all happen to have a vice in the shop I could use?
Silas like, yeah, sure. Right behind you. You turn around, there's a desk and there's like a little regular vice. It's like on the edge of a desk. Looks like he uses it for some minor smithing he does for enchanting weapons and armor.
Cool. He takes the gem over to the vice and tries to like position it in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to crack it just by tying in the vice.
Okay, roll a strength check.
Oh, my specialty.
It's cocked. It's gonna be good.
Oh, a one.
Yeah, you get it to stop, but as you're trying to move like the little lever on it, it's stuck and it doesn't even, like you undo it and you look and there's not even a mark on the gem.
All right, I have to do it the hard way then. And he pulls out a wand and he casts a magic missile on it.
Okay, roll the damage.
I think it's the lowest level, right?
Yeah, for wands.
It's a, yeah, so it'd just be like a d4 plus one.
Three.
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, you blast the thing, and it definitely, like, scuffs part of it up, but it's not, like, breaking, you know? Was that the decision? You guys are going to try to destroy it?
No.
No.
Old man.
Hannibal just wants to, like, crack this thing in half.
Old man, we never agreed to what the fuck you're doing right now.
Oh, no. Yes, I understand.
So, what are you doing?
I'm trying to break the gem.
So, you should stop.
Hannibal, don't break it until we've decided what to do with it.
I could... fix the gem. I have mending.
But we're not sure if it'll still work.
Of course it'll still work. That's how mending works.
That would have been good to tell us before you started doing this, I guess.
I have a 22 intelligence, Kenzo.
Yes.
I don't have to run everything by you.
We did not. This was a democratic decision.
Yes.
And you were outvoted.
That is correct.
So then concede.
No.
Old man.
Why are you trying to break it in the first place?
Hannibal, one point of order. Yes, you could in fact use the mending cantrip in order to repair such a gem, but there's no guarantee that all the information will continue to be intact after all. So it's possible. It might just depend. I've encountered this before. Some of the information can be corrupted upon amending a spell. It's not so simple. Or else people would do this all the time with such things. Ugh. It's possible. You can take the chance, but my work with this in the past has shown that it's not exactly your best option.
I did not consider that.
Have you had your afternoon tea?
No, we skipped tea. That.
I think he needs his tea.
You watch as Sylvester just like claps his hands and teapot steaming out the end just appears in his hands. He goes, "Does anybody like some tea?" And he just pulls a couple glasses out of thin air and pours the tea into the mugs. Just help yourselves.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well, cheers, Pops.
We cheers. Link. It's good.
It's pretty good tea.
So can we agree to put the gem in the bag now?
Yes, I suppose so.
He gives the gem to Arkra.
Arkra puts it in the bag.
But if you lose it, I am so telling on you.
Ticho! Ticho!
Well, then, shall we go to the Prime Minister's office?
I'm down.
I think that's the best option at this time.
All right. Well, let's get this over with.
Yes, and remember, none of you were ever here, right?
Where?
Right.
Precisely. Now, carry on. Come back if you need anything.
We probably will.
Next time, don't make me take my clothes off. He looks at Arkrav.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's appreciated.
Next time, it'll be me, bro. Oh,
one was enough. And you guys take the time and leave the Fitz Ulrich shop and make your way over to the parliamentary assemblage. As you guys get to the front of the large parliament building, you guys can tell that the sun is like beginning to go down. It's been long enough since you guys met up for lunch of going to Zillion's, going back to the Fitz Ulrichs, and hanging out for a bit, listening to a huge portion of this actual recording. The sun's starting to go down. It is the fall, so it gets dark a little earlier, but it hasn't fully set yet. You can see that at the front, there's actually far more guards stationed here at the Parliament building than there have been the times you've been here previously. And it doesn't look like the front doors are open as they usually are.
I wanted to say before we left to the parliamentary assemblage, is there like a perception check I could do or something as soon as we leave the Fitz Ulrichs to see if there's anybody waiting for us or if anybody follows us to the parliamentary assemblage?
Yeah, roll a perception check for the duration.
Hannibal will mention his concern before we all leave so we could all be on the lookout.
Yeah, I want to also check.
Okay, fine. Dogpile the skill, you fuckers.
Thanks.
Josh is just going to raise the DC.
Yeah, I was like, come on, bro. You can make
it. I got a 6.
Nice.
Steph?
I got a 23.
Dang, well, Arkrov got a 0.
Well.
Anybody else?
I don't even know what we were rolling for, to be honest.
Perception.
Oh, God. Fine. The other two don't get to roll. Jeez.
I didn't want to piggyback on everybody else.
I was looking at info, but no, I'm good.
That's fine. No, I mean, there's people around, but no one seems suspicious or to be watching you guys. There's like probably 5 minutes between where you are at the Fitz Ulrichs and the parliamentary assemblage where like fucking Arkrov, you're like, is there someone following us? I could see them. And then you're like nudging Hannibal and Razan. And Razan's like has a hand on a short sword. And then you turn around and you watch that person stop and like buy a pie at a local vendor. And then like take the box and walk the opposite direction.
I heard him. He was whispering about us. I heard him.
What kind of pie did he buy? What kind of pie?
Cherry.
Oh.
Actually, Razan, you look, the guy definitely bought an apple pie.
She just rolls her eyes, keeps walking.
Is that blood?
I just keep walking.
So you guys eventually make it back to the assemblage. No weird followings or anything like that on the way, but you do see like the front doors are closed. And there's more guards stationed outside the large like steps that lead up to the front door.
We walk in.
Okay, you guys go up, and the guards stop you.
That's what I thought.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Good day. And he tries to walk past.
Their spears are in front of the door. The entirety of the parliamentary assemblage is on full lockdown due to an incident.
Yes. Oh. we were there.
That's all well and good, but I'm afraid this is closed off for the rest of the day.
We're here to meet with the Prime Minister. She'll be expecting us.
I'm sure you are, miss, but I think you're going to have to turn around and go back.
Go ahead and tell her that you turned us away.
No, I'm not supposed to leave my post, so you can continue to mouth off. I'm not letting you in.
We're working for the Prime Minister.
I'm sure you are.
Arkrav kind of steps in front of the rest of the group.
This is not going to help. We cannot get in here. If they are on lockdown, then there's nothing this fine gentleman can do.
Well, how are we supposed to see the Prime Minister? She's always told us to just go in.
You guys hear a ka-chunk, and you hear the door open, and you see a tiny little gnomish face pop out. It's the Secretary Barenber, the Secretary of the Prime Minister, and he goes,
they're with us. You can let him in.
And the guard kind of looks back at him, and he says, are you sure, Shorty? And
he goes, yeah, it's fine. Just go ahead and let him in. It's all good. They're with us.
He goes, all right, let him in, boys. And the spears kind of move aside, and you guys are allowed to go inside the kind of cracked open door.
That was easy.
Razan just smiles like really sarcastically at the guards as they walk by.
Thank you for your service.
Roll a reflex save.
Me? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, jeez. This is what we get for being snarky.
He wipes it off with his mouth.
I said thank you for your service.
I got 14.
14. Yeah, he sticks his foot out to trip you, and you don't fall on your face, but you trip over it for sure. But you don't fall over. He just smiles at you.
Oh, she's going Karen right now.
Yeah.
Full Karen. Super
Saiyan
Karen.
Can I pick your manager?
Yeah, that's Hannibal's job. Brown nosing.
Yeah, he's the Karen of the group.
And tattletailing.
Definitely the Karen of the group.
I'm trying to think of how Razan would react. She did go
it's Karen. Too late. You don't get time to come up with a good, awesome comeback for the next 5 minutes.
She's going to go Karen. Crap. I was like, Razan wouldn't tattletale to the manager. That doesn't make sense.
She would just give him the, like, I'm going to kill you look. Like,
I mean, at first glance, I was like, she takes out her short sword and is like, no, we're not going to do that. And then she's going to tattle to the Prime Minister. It's like, she wouldn't do that. Like,
taking a page out of the old Orn playbook.
She would probably like at least a dozen guards out here.
I know. That's why she's smart enough to not be like that dumb.
She would like just trail him home.
If she wanted to.
Murder him in his sleep.
Yeah, cool. Razan takes a turn to chaotic evil.
She's then more for less.
That's what happens sometimes when someone fucks with you, dude. You go straight to that.
Yeah, you go crazy. Yeah. You murder them at their
straight
house.
Straight to murder.
Whatever. She just rolls her eyes and keeps walking.
Okay. So you guys go inside and Barber's just like, sorry about that. I mean, there's just, you know, after what kind of happened earlier in the day where you can't be too cautious, but yeah, I heard you guys talking outside and I recognized a couple of your voices. So are you going to see the lady?
Yes, and I noticed he called you Shorty. Is that a nickname that you would prefer us to address you as?
Not really. I mean, I don't really tell them not to call me that, but I would probably prefer to just go with Barenber. But Barry's fine too.
You have to tell the Prime Minister that our guards need a lesson in respect.
Well, I mean, they're guards. So Barenber goes up there with you guys, and you see there's like guards stationed throughout the whole place. And they see him. And they just kind of wave everybody through. You do go up and there's, instead of the usual two guards at the front door of the Prime Minister's office, there's about eight.
Wow.
And they see Barenber and they go and they unlock the door and they crack the door open a bit and you're able to go inside. And you guys go in and Prime Minister Emrin Laveau is still there. Briggs is still there. And Beslev are all still in this room.
Hannibal tips his hat to every guard as he walks by.
Oh, wow. Oh my God.
Captain?
It's
Captain.
Really annoying.
Captain?
And it's
Captain.
Oh, he just like, as soon as he gets to put it back on, he sees another one. He's like, oh yes.
Guys, we're kind of in a pickle. I wasn't expecting Beslev to still be here.
I mean, they locked the place down.
So. Yeah, but like, they let us out.
I honestly don't think they have anything to do with this. Like,
right, but are we going to tell them about Faye? Are we going to tell them about, like...
Oh, that's true.
Well, the Prime Minister knows about Faye.
Yeah, but not Beslev.
What if we just tell her about the gem, but we don't mention any of the specifics?
I guess that's risky.
Is that too much info?
Yeah, I think it's risky.
Mm.
I don't know.
I mean, there's no way we can play it, so we should just give the gem to the Prime Minister, and she can get back to us if she's able to listen to it.
That's fair. We just not discuss what's on it. Yeah. Should we lie and say we don't know what's on it?
Does someone have a high charisma score? For the love of God.
Arkrov does.
I'm just asking, did you guys discuss this on the way over? Because you can't really talk about it now.
God, sorry. Yeah, no, we didn't.
The whole point was she wanted us to find out what was on it. That was like the whole point. So we need to tell her that we found out.
And then Arkrov can lie.
No, I think we should just tell her everything. That's my, yeah. That's David's, that's Foz's opinion.
But best love.
Yeah, I don't care about him.
He knows everything already. Fuck him.
But Faye, she's our friend. Yeah,
we all have to tell him about Faye.
We don't know if he's involved with her or
also,
if he
remember
is.
Remember that
we'll
Faye...
just say someone's been spying on us. We know because there's conversations on here.
Okay.
We don't have to say any specifics.
All right, no specifics.
Couldn't Faye not respond to us, right? So we were just asking her questions, right? So there's nothing of her. She couldn't speak. True. So there's no information from her that will come out from this.
You could maybe infer, but...
Yeah, the recording is definitely like, somebody talks, then there's a time of silence. Then somebody talks, and there's a time of silence.
So that's good. Like, that's good. Like, her information is sound. Obviously, it leads certain directions, you know, with their conversation, but...
That's true.
It's not all out there, luckily.
I just want to make sure we protect her identity.
Oh, we definitely called her Faye, for sure.
We don't need to say anything about her.
Or except for me. I think I just called her Silent.
Yeah, we just got to be careful about that because she is, in fact, on the run from Beslov, hiding now.
Yeah, we don't need to say any specifics.
Blood Raven. So, yeah.
Or she's dead.
We really haven't heard much. I don't know shit about the Blood Raven other than he's killed some people.
Or she's the Jackal. We've never seen them in the same room.
Or maybe it's a movement. Maybe everyone's Jackal.
Or she's Johnny Croman.
Johnny Croman the Jackal.
Johnny Croman. I knew it.
And we're in the room.
You guys all kind of stumble into the room, and the Prime Minister's, oh, thank God you're back. You've gone for a while. Where'd you go?
We went to Zillion, like you asked.
Sit down. What did you have to say?
We were able to figure out what was on the recordings.
Good. What was it? Who tell us everything. Beslov's like, yeah, seriously, tell us everything.
Don't worry. I will tell you everything. Akrov?
What?
And he like loosens his shirt. we found out that the Clockwork Spy was following us, like the group of us, and he like gestures his hand towards the rest of the group.
Okay.
Including conversations that we've had here in your office.
In this room?
Yes.
For the last 2 weeks.
Wait, before we... this is all something I do want to hear. Did it take you this long to get back because you got a tattoo, Mr. Talborn?
No, this was a byproduct of the Clockwork Spy. He gave it
what?
To me.
It gave you a tattoo?
Yes, this is true.
Magical in nature.
It seems to do very strange things.
It's some type of bizarre spell.
The strangest of all, telling the creator where the recipient is at all times.
Beslov goes, it's a tracking device?
Yes.
You see him just like sit back in his chair and just goes like, well.
Right, so we wanted to make sure that we told you as soon as possible. We weren't sure what to do.
As you can imagine, there is a substantial amount of incriminating or at least damning evidence of certain interactions with certain people that we've had in the last few weeks on the encrypted gem. We think it might be prudent to destroy it before it gets back to its creator.
Do you have the spy itself? Just the gem?
We left the spy with Zillion.
Okay, we'll be safe with him.
We have the gem.
Okay, could you elaborate more on what conversations that it was privy to? Obviously, speaking with me, who else? Was Lord Beslov on the recording? Was any mutual acquaintances that we have on the recording as well?
Yes, is a mutual acquaintance.
You see Beslov kind of looks between you guys and her. It's like,
every conversation for every job that you've put us on, recorded. As far as I know, nothing with Beslov.
Yes, there was nothing of Beslov.
You see Laveau kind of like look over at Beslov and he goes, what? They've been to my house twice. Plus, nothing goes on there that's of any interest.
I think it's safe to say we can rule out Beslov. This device, as we've learned from Zillion, was very shoddily made, and Lord Howell does not strike me as a man to spare any expense.
I'm also not the type to spy on people.
Yes, that too. Good point.
You see her kind of like look down and kind of survey over some things just on her desk, like haphazardly with her eyes. And it's just like, I wish I could have more direct information about this.
Considering the fact that they've only been listening in on work that you've given us, Prime Minister, whoever sent this could be spying in on your affairs by proxy of us. That's at least what makes sense to me.
What was the earliest recording on there?
The roaches you had us eradicate. from that apartment building?
I think I said the first recording was right after that.
I just remember you had mentioned the roaches. I didn't remember if it was before or during.
Everybody roll a perception check.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Oh, why am I using this die?
Speaking of dice, I gotta show you guys something and give a shout out.
Oh, yeah.
I also use that as an excuse to get another beer, but we got a little present in the mail.
What?
From our good buddy, McNuggets. Well, I got a present in the mail.
You little...
McNuggets!
One of our OG patrons, good old Dan, aka McNuggets. It's these beautiful prismatic dice set.
They're so pretty.
It's hard to even show you guys. See if you can even look at these things.
Ooh. Is it like a green?
Can you see some the green, rainbows?
Some pink.
No, they're literally prisms. So like the light goes in, it comes out, it like breaks up inside these things.
Damn you, Dan. If any of those kill us.
Damn it, Dan.
Damn it,
they're beautiful.
Dan.
So, Dan, thank you so much. I will be sure to kill at least a PC with these.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
Oh, no. At least a PC? As if there were something like worse to kill?
Something I will say, we should be setting up sometime soon a P.O. box for anybody who does want to send anything to us. Obviously, you don't have to do that. We don't expect that at all, but we should be doing that sometime soon. We'll keep everybody posted. We'll go up on the website when it's eventually available.
Said Josh across the entire last year.
Hey, I set it up and then like the post office was weird. So then I had to cancel it and then COVID happened.
Now the post office is getting canceled. Yeah. So we're fucked. Yeah. Goodbye, post office.
No.
We'll see you later.
I don't want to get into this. This is fucking sad. We're playing fun games. Anyways, big old shout out to McNuggets. We love you so much. Thank you for the dice. They're great. I'll murder some shit with it. Anyways, yay. Perception checks. Let's go Arcroft.
7.
And Locke.
14.
What about Razan?
19.
And Hannibal.
20.
And Kenzo.
7.
All right. So we'll say Razan and Hannibal. You guys hear what sounds like a little bit of a commotion outside the door of this room. And you can hear someone kind of shouting, "No, I need to get inside. My employer is in there." And the guard's like, "Sorry, mate, you can't get inside. How do you even get in the fucking building, huh? Why don't we escort this one out?" And it goes on.
"I believe somebody is here outside. Do you hear that?"
Kenzo does it. We push Kenzo towards the door.
Kenzo,
oh, wait,
yellow.
What?
Arcroft goes.
we send our best.
No, what the
So you guys go and Kenzo and Arcroft stick your heads out like one on top of the other, like doom, doom, like doom a little. Like stick peeking out, and you guys can see the guards are currently pushing Reynard down the hallway. You see him, he's like, "Oh, Kenzo, Arcroft, tell him I'm with you.
Is Zenard dog? Let's Zenard dog in."
Oh boy, it's our boy. Let go of our boy.
It's our boy.
You hear from behind you, Bestliv goes, "Is that Reynard?" And he runs over the door and goes, "Man, let him go. He's with me." And they're just like, "Oh, yes, sir. No, no problem, sir. Sorry, sir." And they stop, and Reynard just kind of like straightens his waistcoat out, brushes his hair back a little bit. "Thank you, my friends." Kind of steps through and sits down. He goes, "Oh, quite a party in here. Didn't expect so many. What were we all talking about?"
"Oh, hello, Raymond."
No, that's not... Okay, it's better than Nod Dog.
We fill him in.
Yes.
Conspiracy, 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 conspiracy.
Yeah, he just sits there kind of eyes wide. He's like, "Oh, this is above my pay grade. For sure." And the Prime Minister kind of sits back in her chair. "Okay, so this thing has recordings of you, recordings of me, but none of Lord Howell. Has recordings of some other folk that we both are acquainted with. And it seems to have etched some sort of magical tracking device onto one of your skin. Yes?"
"Yes, that's right."
"This is true."
Okay. Does anyone have any ideas they'd like to propose?
I proposed to destroy the crystal. That way it might not make its way back to whoever created it.
Well, I would at least like to hear the information, and then destroying it is obviously second only to hearing the information.
That might be a problem.
Oh, why would it be a problem, Mr. Thatcher?
Well, let's just say we had to go through some less legal channels to get it deciphered.
I'm sure she knows of these. At least the illegalness of it.
I'm sure if all of you would like to continue to hold your freedom, you'll tell me who did this and we'll go through them.
Well, they may or may not be worried about the legal ramifications, you understand.
I would, of course, absolve them of any such things as a favor to the office of Prime Minister.
Can we get that in writing?
I'm the Prime Minister of the Republic of Arden. My word is my bond.
damage is good.
Have I ever gone back on anything that I've said to you since we've known each other?
Not once.
Prime Minister Laveau, we promised these people that they would have our trust not to say anything. You see what a pickle we're in.
Don't pardon them, they're fine.
It is rather a large machine. We need something to give them to know that you are coming, if you are to come.
I'm sure we could work something out. If not, then they can bring themselves here.
Sure.
All right.
The thing about that is I doubt they would be so eager to do so. We might have the best luck simply showing up.
I don't know if it's the best idea for me to be traveling about the city, but at this point, it's not learning what's on there. It doesn't even matter. The fact that you've reported that all these things have appeared on this gem for anyone who has it and the decoder's listening ability, then it's news for me enough. What I'm more concerned about is that fact that you're being tracked when whoever it is that created this knows that you have this. This is an issue.
I can't sleep.
You could not sleep before, dear.
Yeah, that's true.
Is the tattoo causing you not to be able to sleep?
Well, it's more of the anxiety of this.
Well, did you got it today. How do you know you can't sleep?
He can sleep.
I won't sleep.
How do you know he can sleep?
Hey-o!
You see a smirk crawls across her face, and she kind of just gives you like a nod, and then kind of moves on as not to butt into information that's not her business.
I think what we need to do is find out who is watching us. And as uncomfortable as it makes you, Arkrav, if you're being tracked, I say let them track you. Hopefully they show their face at some point.
I told you, I am fine with this. I just need your help. I need someone to watch over me.
I'll watch over you. We're not going to leave you alone.
How does it work?
Well, and then he tells her everything.
So it's focused on him for a short period of time after he activates the device.
That's basically the basics.
When was the last time you activated the device, Mr. Talbot?
Oh, no.
A few hours ago.
Okay.
Not close to here. Not too close.
But it was definitely...
Oh, my God.
...in the establishment of the people that are able to access the information. So, they could be dying right now. No,
yes, they're probably dead.
They're dying right now.
It's tragedy.
I mean, if anything...
Just tell me who they are. I can send a small constituency of guards to go down and look after their area.
We were supposed to play some more CNC at the house and spend the night.
It was the Fitzalwick brothers.
And he covers his mouth with both hands right after.
Yeah, there's like an audible gasp from everybody in the room.
Hannibal.
Ops, fuck.
I'm sorry, I cannot fly.
I don't know why all of you are... I don't know everyone who lives in the capital.
We aren't snitches, that's why. She just pointedly stares at Hannibal.
We promised them.
Well, some promises will be broken in due time. So, you said the Fitz Elrics?
Yes, but you did... There was the thing you said about the pardon. That was a promise, was it not?
Yes, of course it was. A woman of my word. She calls out guards. And immediately, like, somebody pokes their head in. Send a small unit of 4 or 5 down to the... You said the Fitz Elrics?
Oh,
where
no.
Are they located?
Oh, yes, it's right on the corner of 43rd and Skyview.
You heard the man. 43rd and Skyview. Go, just look after them. You don't have to go inside. Don't startle them. Don't go knock on their door. Just stand across the street and try not to look suspicious. And you see that the guard kind of like looks back and forth really quick and then like bursts open his mouth. She says, just do your best. And then she's like, go, be off. And they go and they close the door and you hear a couple of them march down the hallway. Okay, well, your friends will be as safe as 4 or 5 guards can keep them for now.
I hope they're not as big as assholes as they were to us coming on in here.
I hope they're not angry with us.
Or dead.
Or that.
Because of us.
I take full responsibility of this. I was the one who gave them away after all.
Sure, I'm sure you can apologize to your friends at a later date. So the plan is to lure in whoever is tracking Arkrov.
That would be ideal.
My thing was that I don't know if they are going to come out of hiding. I don't believe this. If they have remained hidden for this long, they will remain there.
I think that them wanting to get their hands on the gem would be the only reason. That would be what drives them to come after us. But I have to be honest, I didn't realize it at first, but when you had just mentioned the spell tracking you for a period of time after activating it, they might already know what's on there. We listen to everything right afterwards.
Hannibal, is there any evidence that they can hear what's going on around the tattoo?
As far as we know, no.
So it's just a location?
Precisely.
Okay.
The spell...
So it's not like a scrying spell or anything like that?
No, the spell is locate person.
I like how this level 3 rogue knows what scrying is.
Sly knows what it is.
Yeah, it's like information shared across past lives and shit.
Well, she's like basically from Egypt. Like they do that shit all the time. That's probably where it was invented in this world. I don't know.
Yeah, let me see. Scrying is a level... It's a level 5 cleric spell. So they would need to be level 9. Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. I think that like it wouldn't be like outside of the realm of this rogue who's paranoid about being tracked by her home country after she like ran away to like know of every way that she could be tracked, you know?
I don't know. Roll a knowledge arcana.
I don't have that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I'm just kidding. That's fine. I don't mind like people knowing information about things because they've played Pathfinder in D&D before. It's yeah. fine. Not a big deal.
Yes, you will be fine. I don't think they know where I am right now. Only where I was when I activated the certain command word for this certain spell. It was an interesting spell.
No, they definitely know where you are.
Hannibal was supposed to get rid of it, actually. Or I can just cut it off.
Kenzo reaches for a sword.
No.
I don't think that will be necessary.
Please cut it off.
This is a good thing. Like I said, they want that gem and all the information that's on it. And if they're tracking you, they're gonna come and find it. If they come, we'll know who it is. It's that simple.
You think they're gonna come to the parliamentary building for this?
Not here, but let's say he activates it somewhere else. We can use it like a trap.
They are not going to simply walk up and ask for the gem.
Well, someone will arrive.
Or something,
whatever.
We'll be ready for it.
Something does not help us.
It might offer clues. We have nothing to work off of.
You really think this person is just going to let their clockwork spy stay here without coming to get it? Of course they'll come for it. Why would they even put a spell like that in it in the first place?
I don't think they would come themselves.
I have a question. This is off topic, per se, but, Beslov, do you know why, your constituent was heralded by a closet in the jail cell?
You talking about Ezra?
Yes, Ezra.
No.
Sense motive.
Go for it.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's less than 10. 6, 9 maybe? I don't know.
Seems legit.
Yeah, 9.
I'll give you like an unanswer. Like seems legit. You don't really know. You don't get a feeling either way. You're just like, huh? I don't know. I didn't catch what he said. You dozed off for a second.
Happens.
Well, should we leave the gem here? Or should I take it with me?
It definitely shouldn't leave our possession if we're not going to destroy it.
Oh, well, I mean, it would be safe here, I think.
It would.
What if someone tries to steal it?
Well, I think stealing off of one of your persons is going to be much easier than stealing right from under the nose of our central government.
Or what if one of the people that's spying, or the person that's spying, is right under your nose? Someone you work with?
You are sinking way too deep into this.
I'm just so worried. I don't know who would be spying on us, especially our group. We've only been together for a few weeks. Who could this possibly be?
Well, I mean, the girl has a good point. She looks around the room. As far as we know, it could be someone here. We don't know. Can't rely on that now, but this would be the safest place to have it.
All we know is that it's not one of us because we were all the ones that were on the recordings. So why would we want to record ourselves? It could be anybody else.
To cover it up.
Arkrav just looks at everyone.
What do you look at us like how?
Suspiciously.
Yes.
Oh. You to really think it's one of us?
No.
Well, if the Prime Minister thinks it's best to leave it with her, I am in support of this.
I will respect whatever decision you want to make, Prime Minister.
What happened when the spell was activated, says Renard?
I made my friend take his clothes off very quickly. And
everybody like looks back and is like, what?
Prove it. Prove it to him.
No, don't do that here.
Prove it to someone.
We don't need to prove it. We were all there.
And we shouldn't give any indication or tip off a location right now.
We know that every time I use the spell, it will reactivate the tattoo, the tracking.
I'm not an expert in these things. It's just kind of a
just kind of a guess, but I've read a couple books on the matter. But is there any way to maybe check, like maybe observe the tattoo and the moment that, I don't know, the tracking happens and maybe find something else out about it? I don't know. It's just a hunch.
Sense motive.
Go for it. I imagine Hannibal would be rather suspicious of this guy at this point for reasons.
15.
He seems curious, but there seems to be some other kind of ulterior motive in there. You don't really know what. Could be bad, could be good. You don't know.
Damn.
But he sounds mostly truthful. There's something, a little tinge in his voice. He seems a little off.
Should I do this?
Forgive me. You sounded very curious, but there was a tinge in your voice. So to speak, that I picked up on.
Nice, Shane. No, I've read a few books. I get rather bored in my downtime. And so I was just imagining that maybe there's, you, a wonderful arc and such an intelligent septuagenarian as yourself, might be able to see if there's any sort of, I don't know, ability to look into what, maybe where the tracking's coming from. I don't know. I don't have any magic myself. And he like snaps his fingers like, I can't do anything like that. So I wouldn't
sense
know.
Sense motive on yeah, that.
Okay, I'm gonna say these are the last sense motives you can continue to do on. You can't roll them over and over again on one person, so it's, that's just ridiculous things. No, but it's like dogpiling and rolling a perception check 14 times. You
all
know
right,
what I mean?
All right.
You can't just keep doing it, or else you have to take like a 10 or a 20, which you can't do because you can't take the time.
11.
Yeah, I mean, you're not sure. Seems legit.
23.
Whoa.
So it seems like he does have some knowledge of the arcane. That's what you're getting off.
Sketchy boy.
No knowledge of magic whatsoever, huh?
None. No. Unfortunately, I spent most of my time in the service industry, as well as I was a concierge for about 15 years prior to this. So.
Why do I feel like you're lying?
I don't know why you think that I'm lying. I mean, I have no reason to lie to you all.
All right.
There's like a weird, awkward silence in the room. And Beslev's like, look, I can vouch for the man. Okay. He's fine. He says he doesn't know anything about it. Hannibal, what do you have to say about this whole weird magic thing?
Oh, well, I was there to observe it when these first tests was had. There was a flash the tattoo emitted that went off. And a knowledge of arcane spells led me to believe that the spell on the tattoo was refreshing, as well as the spell that was being cast by our dear Okrov here. My theory was further confirmed by the Fitzelric brothers, two well-known arcanists that had the same theory as I did.
Also, I wanted to throw up.
Amarin's like, okay, so I'm trying to weigh the options here. In one hand, I want you to activate it. I dare them to show up on my front step. I dare them. On the other hand, it might... We don't know who we're dealing with, and it might be stupid.
Yeah, Kenzo stands up and opens his shirt and says, yeah, use it on me.
Might I suggest a compromise?
I respectfully disagree with Pops.
I haven't even suggested it yet.
No, I know, but still, whatever you're going
to
say.
Well, you still get to take your clothes off in my compromise, is what I'm saying.
Oh.
What are you thinking, Hannibal?
I'm thinking this. Let's think worst case scenario. We activate it, they come in droves, and they blow the parliamentary assemblage to smithereens. Best case scenario, somebody gets naked. I think the best thing to do strategically would be to destroy the crystal and then activate it. So if they do show up, they have no information to recover.
What if that's not how the spell works? What if the crystal is necessary to activate it?
Oh, trust me, my dear. That's not how it works.
Don't think that's how it works.
Also, why would they come in droves now? They didn't before.
Right.
And did you say that this locate creature spell was activated when it was originally inscribed? So twice before?
Yes, but every time he activates the tattoo, it refreshes.
Right.
If he goes, I would say about 10 days without activating the tattoo, it should expire. However, we okay. can't seem to make it to one.
It's so cool.
Oh, and technically we
just
only,
do it.
We only know one of the well, one of the spells.
Somebody may take their clothes off, so.
They're war eagle. And he touches the tattoo.
Okay, where are you looking?
I look up and lock eyes with Kenzo.
Okay.
Swing.
Roll a d6 there, Fosmire.
Okay, that's a 4.
Okay.
A 4. Okay. So, as you do this, you look at Kenzo, and there's a moment where your vision goes white, and for a split second, you can't see. But then you watch as the next 6 seconds of your life play out before you, and then you get brought back, and your brain hurts real bad, and I need you to roll a percentile die.
Oh, worried about this.
It's 20.
20. Okay, you're fine. Your headache goes away.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, Krav, are you all right?
Did something happen?
I saw the...
Those are still on. Why are my clothes still on? This is ridiculous.
Did the spell do something different?
I feel very weird.
What happened?
It's as if I had heard what you said already.
You saw into the future?
No, I... Could you say it again?
Strange. That's very different than what happened last time.
Be more specific, Akrov.
Did you hear this, what we're saying right now?
No.
You had deja vu.
Like a dream.
It seems as so.
Everything exactly as it was before it happened.
Just a few moments, yes.
Hannibal, roll a knowledge arcana.
Ooh, I got 3, so I'm going to use one of them. So I'm going to use a hero dice on this roll.
Okay.
Ooh, nice.
Knowledge arcana, you say?
Correct.
Okay. So, okay. Not the best. That's going to be a 1 on the fucking hero die. A 20 total.
20 total.
That's the one I got for Bungle. It is gone.
Okay, nice. I think well worth it.
Yeah, I think
well
so too.
Worth it.
It got you to that even 20, which is always good. You don't want to float on a 19. That would mm-mm. suck. Okay, so that and your combined with your 30 of your spellcraft or whatever you rolled last session, which was insane for a level 3 character. You notice this time as the spell went off or whatever this effect is. First off, it seems as if with the knowledge arcana, I don't know how this would work in world, but essentially what you can kind of surmise is going on with Arkrov. The effect basically lets him for one round essentially get a bit of luck. So for one round, all d20 rolls are rolled twice and you take the higher one.
Whoa.
So he saw 6 seconds into the future. So it gives him, you know, quote unquote, 5e terms advantage. That's kind of the effect you're assuming is going on here. But you also noticed an interesting, like almost like an arcane like tag that kind of appeared and disappeared as if to be part of the tracking spell.
Uh-oh.
Do you mean like it appeared on his tattoo?
No, it's not like it. Don't think of it as physical. Like you didn't see it, but it was almost as you were kind of looking over it. You as an arcanist can look over the signs of certain bits of magic and you're kind of understanding there is some kind of residual information as part of this spell when this goes off.
Is there something I could roll?
Give me a spellcraft for this.
Okay. I'm going to do another hero die.
Why don't you wait and see what you roll first?
Yeah let's do that. Good idea.
Yeah, welcome.
Okay. 27.
Shit. Yeah, you see this and you get this momentary. It's even hard to explain. It's almost like a signature is not right, but there's some good, like a residual energy from how this spell was enchanted. And with the 27, you get it. And if you can get the right kind of spell, like you can link it back to whoever created this.
Oh, wow. Shit.
Oh my God.
I think I may have figured it out, dear boy. I can trace this.
How? You mean you can trace it back to who made it?
Yes, there was a sort of a seal, if you will. An arcane signet. Something in the aether around it when it went off. It's almost like a magical seal or a stamp of approval. Completely unique to the caster. If I had some sort of divining method to figure this out, gods, divination is not my subject of expertise, but I could trace it back hypothetically.
Well, that's a start.
What do we need to get you? Do we need to find someone who knows divination?
Do you have any sort of spells like this at your disposal?
At the moment, not likely.
He starts flipping through his spellbook.
Are you looking for, what are you looking for specifically?
The only thing remotely like this that I have prepared today is detect magic. That's about it. I don't have very many divination spells. Oh, okay. I have like detect magic, detect fiendish presence, detect poison. But that's about it. I don't know. Would I know of anything that could figure that out?
I mean, you can try whatever you got. I don't. It's up to you, man.
Give me some time. If I do not know this spell, I might be able to find a scroll around the city somewhere.
That sounds good to me. It's more of a lead than we had a few minutes ago.
It certainly is promising.
So if you can get the proper spell,
then you can track down the person who made this?
I believe so, yes.
Perhaps it would be best to leave the gem with you then, Prime Minister, until we figure this all out.
Sure, I have the ability to keep it safe.
Arcroft takes the gem and places it on the desk of the Prime Minister.
She takes it and kind of holds it up and holds it up to like the light of the windows and looks at it. And she just takes it and places it into a pocket in her dress and says, it will be very well taken care of.
Thank you. Well, until then, what should we do? Just wait for Hannibal to figure out the right spell, I suppose.
We should also check on the Fitzelric brothers. Make sure that no one has showed up at their establishment looking for us.
We should, just to be safe. Perhaps, Zillion's place too.
It's not a bad idea.
Then I suppose we'll be on our way.
There's not really much else we can do for now. We'll report back as soon as we figure out something.
I'll be sure that the guards don't bother you the next time on the way in.
That would be lovely. Thank you.
So we leave, I guess?
I think we leave.
All right, bye.
See you guys. Ta-ta for now.
All right, so you guys head out. Do you want to go check on the Fitzelrics?
I think we should,
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Just in case.
We'll see you head back over there. You guys can see the troop of guards like across the street standing there. I would say it's probably pretty obvious. You guys actually see one of the Fitzelric brothers like peering through a curtain in the window, looking kind of curiously at like what's going on across the street. As you guys kind of walk up and go inside, you see like the curtain move to the side and you guys can tell the door is actually locked.
Uh-oh. I knock on the door.
So there's like, you hear a, who is it?
It's us.
Who's us?
She kind of looks around at everyone. It's Locke and the others.
Oh, good, good, good. You hear the door like unlock and you see Sylvester. Oh, come on in. There's guards across the street watching us.
Yes.
He slams the door behind you, locks it.
Oh, we know.
What is going on?
We told the Prime Minister that you had helped us, but she said she would pardon you, so you're fine.
Here, Silas come out. She's like, you what?
She told us she would protect you. That's why she sent the guards.
You promised!
I know we did.
Sorry, I gave it away.
Oh, the Prime Minister knows we have a gem tech decoder?
She needs to see it.
She what?
She wants to see what's on the gem.
She's
okay.
Likely going to be asking for your help.
Okay, just the Prime Minister of the country.
Right.
Okay, sure. I guess, tell her to come by.
I think she wants you to come to her.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
With the Dakota.
Okay, we'll work out the time.
You could be a vital part in saving her life.
Oh, I'm sure we would be.
I'm sorry.
Aside from selling out your friends, how did the meeting go, everyone?
I prefer to call it good publicity. You got good publicity.
By the gods.
I don't want to blame Hannibal, but it really was all his fault.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Did anybody stop by between the time we were last here and now? We're curious about that tattoo. We think, we know that it reveals Arkrov's location. In the case that anyone might have been curious, they would have come here.
We had a customer or two from the Lyceum, but nothing interesting. They bought some of our magical inscription ink and a few extra spell books. Seems like something for one of their students. We do have these guards across the street bothering us, though. They're staring at us. Rather obvious from the start when they got here. I'm assuming that's something to do with telling the Prime Minister, yes?
They're here to protect you. It's a good thing.
Oh, good. Feel very safe.
Honestly, they're here to make sure you're all right. You never know if someone might stop by because of the tattoo.
Sure. Okay, that makes sense.
Actually, Hannibal and I were certain that you were dead.
Oh, thank you for your confidence in our abilities.
Well, I mean, I like to think of me and Pops as like realists sometimes, you know.
Sure, of course.
I didn't think you were dead, if that counts for anything.
We did learn something else while we were at the assemblage.
Hmm.
Well, our dear boy, Mr. Talborn, was brave enough to try activating the tattoo again.
Oh, what happened this time? Someone else take their clothes off?
I wish.
We were very anxious about that, actually, but no. He seemed to gain the ability, commonly referred to as a bit of luck.
Oh, precognition.
Yes, but that's not the interesting thing. The interesting part was I noticed there was some sort of arcane signature when the spell on the tattoo was triggered.
Like an Arcanist mark?
Something of the sort, yes.
Well, did you trace it?
I don't know if I have the ability to do so.
Of course you do. All or mages of any caliber do is the hard part is identifying the specific tag. And Sylvester finishes the sentence as long as you can detect magic, it should lead you straight to the person.
Oh, well,
you have to concentrate on the runic signature and you can take you straight there.
I have that prepared right now.
Hannibal, just concentrate on that arcane energetic signature. Concentrate on it. Close your eyes. Concentrate and cast detect magic.
Okay. Well, bubblegum.
Okay, so you close your eyes and you concentrate. There's no imagery. You didn't see anything when you were looking at this spell go off of this item. It was almost like a feeling you got. You got like, you have this, as an arcanist, you have this kind of intrinsic attunement to these different arcane vibrations. As a wizard, you've learned to kind of look out for these specific nuances in the kind of like this arcane lattice that kind of lies over the earth. And so you concentrate and you just envision this abstract idea that you had kind of latched onto, that you've kind of memorized in that moment. And you cast detect magic and you open your eyes and you can literally see like this faint wisp of like energy in the air. No one else can see it, just Hannibal. And it leads out the door.
Oh, shit.
He starts tracing it with his finger. It's right here. I can see it.
It's just like a little horizontal line that goes out the door.
Where? I don't see anything.
Come, quick. We can follow it.
Lead the way.
He opens the door.
You open the door and it leads out and it goes down the street. As you're looking at it, as you kind of follow it with your eyes, you watch as it's like moving. It's moving with your vision. As you're looking in certain directions, it's like going along. It's almost like it's racing down the street.
This is fucking crazy.
The Fitzelric's just like, this is fascinating, but you just told the Prime Minister that we're criminals, so bye.
Bye.
Tell us about it later. And they go ahead and they slam the door.
We have the bell.
Bye.
And you guys see that it's just, I imagine you're just taking off down the street, right?
Yes, I think so.
If everybody else is cool with that.
Mm-hmm. We're just following Hannibal.
At the gait of a man in his 70s is taking off down the street, so he's rather slow. And he's moving his way down. You're following this arcane kind of wisp in the air, and it leads you eventually back to the parliamentary assemblage, leads through the door, past the guards.
I look back at the gang and say, we are going back.
I have a bad feeling about this, but we should go.
Yes, quickly.
So you guys move up to the guards and they kind of look at you for a second and like the spears get crossed and they kind of see who it is and they all move.
Thank you, young man.
You guys all go ahead and come on in and you see the line goes up the stairs up to the left towards where the Prime Minister's office is.
We go there.
Yeah.
You follow it up and the line goes past the guards at her door as you guys are running past all these different guards that are stationed here and goes through the door.
What?
Burst open the door.
We cautiously open the door.
Boom, baby.
Do you guys bust in Cusco style or do you go in?
No.
Boom, baby.
No. Cusco style. We just walk in calmly.
So you guys like are running up and you kind of like stop like as you get within like eyesight of the guards and kind of like pretend like you weren't just running and are all sweaty. And the guards are just kind of like nod to you and they open the door for you and you guys walk in. And Hannibal, you watch as the little wisp of arcane energy goes into the middle of the room and then stops.
Who else is in the room?
Roll a perception check.
22.
In this room currently, there is Emeryn Laveau, Beslav Howell, Briggs, Reynard, and what's his name? The secretary.
Baron Burr.
Yeah.
Barry.
Laveau is immediately just like, hello, back awfully soon.
I walk up to the center of the room where it stops.
Mm-hmm.
I feel around.
There's nothing there.
Is there any other auras coming from this room?
The only other auras, like Beslav has a what looks to be like a magic necklace on. Briggs has magic armor, and Reynard has a magic bracelet. And Laveau has like one of her rings that she wears is also magical. Aside from your friend's magic items, that's all you would really notice.
Nothing on Barry.
Baron Burr doesn't have any magic anything on him.
Here, he points to the center of the room. It came from here.
What did?
The spell, my lady.
The spell, yes, of course. Alcrove is standing just a few feet to the left of that. What, of course. What are you talking about?
No, I traced it to here.
You traced it? Oh, you were able to trace it?
Yes.
And it led you just to there.
Is this where Alcrove was standing when he cast it?
Not exactly.
No.
Hmm.
I believe the person who is receiving information from Alcrove's statue was standing right here.
Or is somewhere in this room. Locke kind of looks around.
Locke, roll a perception check.
Oh, 18.
18? So you guys have all kind of moved into the room at this point. You're all kind of standing, you know, roughly in like the center of where some of the seating is in front of her desk and these big windows on this side of the building. And you guys are all kind of talking and some of you are kind of looking around a bit. But as Hannibal says that, Locke kind of like turns around and looks and you can see Barenboim literally trying to sneak out of the room.
Locke runs up to him.
He just stops.
Where do you think you're going?
Oh, I was gonna check and make sure that everything's okay with the guards.
Oh, really? She's gonna roll a sense motive. Ooh, that was a good one. 20.
20? Yeah, he's lying out his ass.
Oh. Locke is literally gonna point at him and go, ha, you're lying.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was gonna go take a shit.
Sense motive.
Yeah, I'm gonna sense motive that.
I'll allow someone else to sense motive. Jeez, he's fucking
16.
16. You don't know, he might need to take a poop. He is awfully sweaty.
He does now.
Seriously.
I think for the time being, everyone should stay in the room, including you.
Okay, but what about bathroom breaks?
Not right now.
I can't hold it. I'm a tiny person. I had a big lunch.
I need to also see a man about a horse.
What?
Hannibal can escort you.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll escort you right back.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, I just want to go to the bathroom. Why is everyone getting so serious?
What? Let's go poop.
And we'll pick it up with the poop in episode 16.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my god.
No, it's perfect. Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
Jesus.
We're gonna have to see if anyone's ever ended on a scatological note, like in any podcast ever. Like,
I don't know. Maybe, I mean, there's probably a Mabim Bam somewhere that has a poop joke at the end.
Darn
that. But with that, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to the pod called Quest. We super appreciate it. Something I've been meaning to mention, everybody, we're at 47 reviews on Apple Podcasts, and it'd be really cool to get to a 50 at least. Ooh. So if you want to take the time, maybe sign up for one of those free Apple accounts and go ahead and maybe give us a little rating and review there on Apple Podcasts. It would help a lot for us to get to that 50 review mark. So we'd super appreciate it. Just three more.
Yay.
Three more of you. Oh, I know there's a bunch of you out there who haven't done it yet. I know we can get three of you. So that'd be awesome. We'd really appreciate it. Otherwise, check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Pod Called Quest. Check out podcalledquest.com as well as jump over to the Patreon. Maybe hop in if you haven't already and do our little Patreon campaign we have. We're getting super close, like far less than $100 to our $500 goal. So once we get there, we start doing Friday night Twitch streams. It's going to be super fun. Yay. So if you want to help out, want to help us reach that goal, go ahead and jump over to patreon.com/podcalledquest. As always, a big shout out to Sirenscape, Larian Studios, and the Game Kitchen, new addition for the amazing sound effects and the use of their music, as well as all the other composers' music we use. You can check out them and all the others at podcalledquest.com/music, as well as in each and every episode's show notes. And last but not least, please check out the Lebanese Red Cross, Black Lives Matter, and Direct Relief to help out the folks who are in need and try to do some good here in this really shitty year we have right now. You can check out all the links for those in the description. And as always, we love you all. We appreciate you all. You're all the best. And we'll see you all in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Hello. Peace. Let me bye.
Hanging fruit. That's what they used to call me in high school.
What the hell?
All right, we're back.